Lord's Day evening. We trust that you're enjoying the Lord's Day, knowing his blessing in your own heart, wherever you are. A very warm welcome to all of the congregation in Agalee. And we do thank also others from outside who we know do watch us on Facebook. We thank you very much for that. We trust that you and your families as well will know much of the Lord's blessing in these days. Just want to say to the congregation that for the immediate future, we will be continuing as we are with a message for Tuesday evening, a short message on thoughts on Thursdays, and also the two services on the Lord's Day. We will continue to put them on Facebook and on sermon audio as well. But do pray that the Lord in his own time would arrange circumstances that we will be able to go back into his house in his own time. It might be a little way off yet, but do pray that things will continue to improve and that the coronavirus, that cases will continue to decline and that there will be favourable circumstances for God's people to get back to God's house again. Again, we want to say this week that we certainly miss the fellowship, and we do trust that the Lord will bring us back together in fellowship before too long. Do we want to ask you continually pray for one another, remembering those who are unwell and those who have been bereaved. And as I mentioned before, outreach that has been done recently, there are very many homes reached and very many needy hearts. And we do trust that God's word will bear forth fruit that will remain. Also want to say that if you have any needs spiritually to the congregation, please do get in touch with us and on the house here, and we will certainly seek to help you in any way that we can. If there is anything else that you need practically, let us know. And certainly, if anything goes wrong, we want to hear right away so that we can try and help you in any way that we can. So we're hoping the Lord will bless you in your home throughout the rest of today and now as we turn shortly to his word as well. Could we just bow together then in prayer? Lord, we thank thee this evening for thy day. We do thank you, Lord, for that one day that God has set aside in seven. Thank you, Lord, for the great benefit that it is to God's people, for the comfort, Lord, that we derive from thy word and in normal times from fellowship and just being able to gather together with our hymn books and to sing, to open the Bible and to share thoughts concerning God's word and God himself. And Lord, we do pray that even in God's time again, that these days would come around to us. We pray, Lord, for those who are serving right now in the front line, those in the NHS, help them and encourage them, keep them safe and help them with the great work that they do. For others, Lord, that are serving the community on the front line, we think of those who are involved in, Lord, with the councils and those who are involved with the various retail outlets, that the Lord would keep them safe too, and that, Lord, before too long, that our country again might be back to some semblance of normality. Bless all who listen tonight. Pray, Lord, even now at the very beginning of the meeting, Lord, for an opening of heart, for preparation of heart. You know that the preparation of the heart belongeth unto the Lord. We ask now that you would draw near. Bless the reading of thy word and the meditation upon it. In our Saviour's name we pray. Amen. This evening we're reading over there in Luke's Gospel and chapter 4. If you could turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 4. Going down the chapter to verse 16, it says there, "And he," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." So he's quoting now from Isaiah's prophet. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Amen. And we know that the Lord always blesses the public reading of the scriptures. Christ's Jewish hearers, we read about them here in chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel. They had been eagerly looking for what really would have been a temporal king. They had been fondly dreaming of a hero who would deliver them from Roman dominion and help them to be great among the nations again. The Savior, of course, he knew exactly what was in their thoughts, as he always does. And wishing to impress upon them that he was the promised Messiah, the passage that he quotes from Isaiah was very, very appropriate and very applicable and very well picked indeed. He draws their attention to this passage, and he seeks to show them not only that he is the promised Messiah, but he seeks to explain to them the mission of his first advent, his coming into the world. And he goes on to let them know that it was that they would have the victory over sin, that he would bring about redemption not from the power of Rome, but from the grip of the devil. And he seeks very, very clearly to try to show them that that is the only way, and all that they would expect him to do if this prophecy from Isaiah was to be fulfilled. That was what he came to do. And he also speaks to them in a most striking way, giving an account of his own ministry. And they listened well. If you look there in verse 22, you'll see there was no finger pointing. They did not seem to ridicule his message to his face anyway. It says there in verse 22, "And all that bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They're thinking of him merely, you see, now as a carpenter, the carpenter's son. And while they, in a gracious way, refer to what he has said, their hearts are filled with anger and with envy. And as they listened to them, men and women, their hearts were absolutely untroubled. They were absolutely unmoved. They were absolutely unaffected by his sermon. At a stretch, you could really say that perhaps temporarily they admired his speaking, but that is all. Fast forward to 2020. There are thousands of people tonight, and they still hear the good news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps they get some kind of, we call it intellectual pleasure, from just listening to a story of deliverance and of one who came to deliver those who were in need. And yet they do not seem to see their sin. It does not prevent them from hanging on to their sin. It does not prevent them from going on down life's road, down life's uncertain pathway without him. Maybe you're one of those people tonight, for all I know. The very last sentence of the scripture that Jesus quoted to them is found in verse 19. That is the verse that I'm drawing your attention to tonight. It says here, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this, of course, is a reference, as many will know, to the year of Jubilee, time that was associated with great joy among the people there. And tonight we want to look at its typical teaching, the acceptable year of the Lord. You can read Leviticus chapter 25 and other passages yourself that will give you many details regarding that. But I trust tonight that as we do simply draw some typical lessons from the year of Jubilee, that hearts will be opened, that there will be those whose minds will be enlightened and wills will be changed, and some will be converted for eternity. I trust you will be, if you're not a Christian right now, that before the night is out, that you will be saved by God's free and sovereign grace. So the title tonight is The Acceptable Year of the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, its character. I want to say that this year of Jubilee, this acceptable year that's referred to here in this passage, it was appointed by God. It was appointed by him to be a time of joy and mercy to the poor in Israel. And for them, this time of the year, this time would bring great benefit to them. See what he said in verse 18, which is very notable, of Luke chapter 4. Again, quoting from Isaiah, of course, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." There is a verse that is overflowing with mercy and with goodness, and indeed with opportunity. See what it says there? Preaching the gospel to the poor. Referring to those who have no Savior at this time. Those who are still in their sin. Applying it to those who are brokenhearted. The reference here throughout this whole verse 18 is to those who are in the grip and in the deadness of a sinful state. He says that, for instance, there at the very end, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The word bruised there is a word which carries the meaning of being totally broken, or even to be broken in pieces. And that's where men and women are without Christ. Whether they recognize it tonight or not, they are broken in pieces. They are those that are bruised. Because they have no claim to righteousness. And that leaves them open and under the wrath of God. But not only have they no claim to righteousness, there is no comfort in knowing that you do not have any assurance for eternity. I don't care who says otherwise. As a man or woman looks out into the great eternity and has no hope, and there's nothing that they're sure of, no comfort in their heart. Therefore, there's no confidence, and there's no certainty. And the Lord here gives details of what he has come to do. He has come to preach, and he's come to bring salvation through himself to men and women. And as we look here at the character of this year of the Lord, we're seeing it's a time, it was a time of joy and a time of mercy. And really, tonight, men and women, maybe all your life you've listened to Christ being preached. And could it be said that you have taken some kind of intellectual pleasure in listening to the preaching of the cross, because it's a message of one who came to die and to rise, to raise from the dead, and one who came to give his life for others. And the gospel story is of deliverance from sin, and listening to it, you have derived some pleasure from it, and you have even an admiration for the gospel. But tonight you're unmoved, and your heart is untroubled and unaffected. And this evening, you're unrepentant. Before we go any further, I want to draw your attention to a very important verse in the book of Proverbs that unconverted people really want to bear in mind. It says in the book of Proverbs in chapter 29 and verse 1, "And he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Hardening there refers to the neck of a beast. When the yoke would be put on, the neck of the beast would be very sensitive and would be marked and sore perhaps. But over a period of time, it would toughen up, and that part of its neck would become very, very tough. And it would get to that point where when you put the yolk on it, it wouldn't even realize hardly that the yolk was there. Got used to it so much. And that's what the word hardeneth there means. It's referring to those who, perhaps, let's face it tonight, like you, have had many, many opportunities to hear the gospel. From childhood days, they've been encouraged to come to Christ, and yet tonight, your heart's unmoved, man or woman. And you're untroubled. And you've been often reproved. Harden your neck. See, that verse tells us, he that oft been often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's a place of no hope. Suddenly destroyed and without remedy. You're in a place then of no hope. What I want to say to you right now is, do not spurn God's offer of mercy to you. Over there in the book of Lamentations, shows us in chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 says there in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You can remember many years of God's mercy toward you. Maybe the home life that he's given to you. Maybe occasional friends that have crossed your pathway. They've been Christians. And you remember perhaps the impact of their life. Or maybe some of the things that they said. And God maybe has brought you to meetings. And he's brought people into your life. And then they have become Christians. And you saw that God has been at work there. And yet you're still out of Christ. And God has given you maybe decades of opportunity. I'm thinking of a person right now who is in their eighth decade, known the gospel all their days, and they're still not saved. It is of the Lord's mercies there that men and women are not consumed. Thinking here of this acceptable year of the Lord, a reference to the year of Jubilee. It was, of course, if you read Leviticus 25 and 10, it was appointed by the Lord. And when you read of a man in the Bible called John the Baptist, and he heralded Christ and he turned men away from himself towards the Saviour. John was a preacher, but that's all. Christ was a preacher, but he's the Saviour. And he turned men's attention toward him and he said, behold, or look toward the Lamb of God, the Christ of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So as I think here of the acceptable year of the Lord, remembering that it is a reference to the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament, and I think of its character reminds me of the mercy of God in Christ for men and women who will turn from their sin and come to him just as they are, who will harden their hearts no longer. What mercy there is with him. But I think here not only, I think of this acceptable year of the Lord, not only its character, but its coming. It was ushered in by the Day of Atonement. And again, you would need to look in the book of Leviticus. And on that day, a bullock was offered. There was a ram that was taken and offered as a burnt offering. There was a scapegoat upon which symbolically the sins of the people were laid, and then it fled away out into the desert. And the services, all of them on that day, had a distinct reference to the death and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all the animals involved had no merit or value or virtue, but as it typified the atonement made by the Lord Jesus Christ, that was their only value. They typified him, or they pointed to him. And you know, there can be no message of mercy, no message of salvation and deliverance for you tonight, sinner, but through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that very clear, and I'm very aware tonight, I may be speaking to some people, and you're very familiar with that fact. And you may even know many of these verses that we're turning to over there in Luke's Gospel in the last chapter, chapter 24. It says in verse 46, speaking here about people's understanding being opened in verse 45, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The message there is very clear. The message preached is to be Christ and him crucified. Over in the book of Acts, at chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, says there in verse 3, Paul here is talking of his reasoning with those who were not saved and what his message is really. It says in verse 3 of Acts 17, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Then it says in verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy. There were some who listened as Christ was preached, and some who availed themselves of the opportunity to come to him, some who didn't. You know, it's the same in most families. People who in this life love one another and would do anything for one another, and rightly so. And yet I can think now of girls who are saved and their brothers are not, and of fellows who are saved and their sisters are not, of daughters who are saved and their fathers are not, of mothers who are saved and their sons are not. And I wonder tonight where you fit into all of this as we consider this acceptable year of the Lord, this time of preaching, and consider the message of it. It was brought in here, it was ushered in by the Day of Atonement, pointing to Christ. You see, our preaching all must point to him as the only remedy for man's sin. There was the character of this time, there was the coming of it, but then there is the call. Now, if you look in your Old Testament again in the book of Leviticus and in other places, for instance, in Psalm 89, the psalmist there referred to the sounding of the trumpet. He said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, referring to those who had responded positively to the gospel. You see, the trumpet was sounded to all people near and far, and they would know that this was now the year of Jubilee. I think of Christian witness. Christian witness is to convey the life-giving sound of the gospel to men and women everywhere. That we are to convey that message to the tyrant. I think of Isaiah. He preached to Manasseh. Manasseh didn't come to the Lord in Isaiah's lifetime, but he did come later. I think of Paul, who knew about the preaching of Stephen. He didn't come to the Lord in Stephen's lifetime, but he did come later. These men were both tyrants. The gospel reached them, and they were both converted, transformed, and their destiny was changed. However low down sin might have brought you tonight, and maybe it's brought you further down than you care to admit, further down than anyone else knows, God's grace can reach you. Remember the words of one of our hymns. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Saviour lifted me. Now safe am I. He can lift you. And we are to convey that message along to those who may be even as bad as tyrants. We are to convey the message to those who are tired. Have you heard the story of the prodigal son? When you were younger, perhaps, you heard it in Sunday school. He was a fellow who just thought he knew everything. And he had the world at his fingertips, he thought. But you know, as we picture him out in the far country, we have a picture of the sinner far, far away from God. And the more he got involved there, the worse things became. And eventually he lost everything that he had, plus his character. The world saw to that. Dear friend, tonight, you may have a godly mother, or you may have a grandfather that prays for you. But you set your mind in your mind that you're going to explore life and explore the world without the Lord. The world will take your character plus everything else. You see, for the prodigal son that took everything, the world took everything plus his character. The world charges great interest on what it seems to give you. This gospel message, this message of Christ crucified, of Christ the deliverer from sin, it's a message for the tyrant. We convey it to the tired. It's a message for the terrified. Fear tonight still marks some. Many people in the Bible, and they were beside themselves with fear. The gospel was preached to them, and they were gloriously saved. During this pandemic, many people have expressed their fears. Some have been saved. Many still haven't. Are you one of them? This is a message for you. We convey the message to the tyrant, to the tired, to the terrified, but we also preach this message to the trier. There are always people around us, and they're always trying in some way to bring contentment to their own life. We refer to what they're doing as drinking a broken cistern, because there is no satisfaction outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We convey this message to the troubled. And men and women, maybe you're troubled tonight, and you wouldn't want anyone to know that. But you're troubled by your sin. You're troubled because you've no assurance for eternity. You're troubled because you see death and decay all around you. You're troubled because you know that there's an enmity between you and God. Some of the words of one of our hymns are these: troubled soul, the Saviour can see every heartache and tear. Sin has brought you heartache and tears. But tonight, his message to you is, turn from your sin and come to the Saviour. And if you will do that tonight, thinking here of the call of this special time of Jubilee, or the acceptable year of the Lord, the call was to gather the people in, and the call to you is to come. To come and partake of a living faith. One day it will bring you to heaven. But not only a living faith, you have a lasting foundation, and that is Christ. You can never perish unless he perishes, and he will never perish. A living faith, a lasting foundation, but loyal friends. Some of the best people that walk the face of this earth can be your colleagues and comrades in life. Does this call not appeal to you tonight? To be done with your sin and turn your back on it and start out for heaven and home with God's people and with joy in your heart, knowing that your sins are forgiven. We've looked at this acceptable year of the Lord, its character, its coming, its call. But then there is its commendation. It brought great privileges and great blessing to the people. You would really need to read so much of Leviticus 25 yourself, and in other passages as well. You will see that there was great delight and fullness there in Leviticus 25. So there is in the gospel. Isaiah 55, Isaiah was preaching. He referred to the gospel of Christ, and he said, eat ye that which is good. That which is good. Maybe you thought of the gospel as something which is not for you at all, and yet it's that which is best for you. Would you not eat that which is good? It was a time of liberty for captives. People who'd been in prison were released. How many years you've been held in hellish bondage? Tonight Christ can set you free. If you will but come and trust him now. In that time of Jubilee as well, it was a time when debts were overlooked. People were discharged from the obligation of certain debts. What an unusual time it was. One of our hymns in our hymn book says, your debt was paid by his precious blood that flowed from his wounded side. He says, we're commending now this gospel to you and the privileges and blessings it can bring to your life. You can eat that which is good. You can be released from the captivity and the bondage of sin, the debt that you owe. Well, Christ has paid it on the cross if you will come and trust him. It was also a time when there was a restoration of that which had been forfeited. Lands were returned to their original owner. And then one tonight, we lost everything in Adam. When he fell, we fell in him. But if you will be a Christian tonight and come to the Saviour, then you will be in a better position than Adam was. Because Adam was always liable to fall. And he did. And you can faint as a Christian. And you can fail. But you can never fall. Because underneath are the everlasting arms of eternal love. I wonder tonight, would you not come and trust him? It was also a time that was associated with rest. There was plenty there, and the people took a time of rest. Sinners find rest in Christ alone. I want to say to you as I bring the message to close tonight, if you go on as you are, sinner, unrepentant, unsaved, finally, you will finally perish without him. But if you will come and trust him and be washed in his precious blood, one day you will go to be with him eternally. The acceptable year of the Lord. What a blessing it was. What an opportunity tonight for you to partake of all that's provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a foolish thing to just walk away from the gospel again, walk away from Christ. Would you not come tonight and make him your own? May the Lord use his word to draw you to himself and grant you repentance unto life for his name's sake. Amen.